are our politicians, businessmen, and media personalities being compromised? Is there a covert check and balance system affecting our body politic? How and why does a nationwide child abuse network stay hidden? And what about the children? These are some of the questions that the Franklin scandal addresses. The name of the book is The Franklin Scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal. The author is in the studio with me this afternoon, Nick Bryant. Welcome to Talk Back and to WBAI.
It's good to be here, Michael.
Thank you very much for coming in and bringing this to us. It's a very disturbing video that we watched. This is a trailer to this book. It's an over 600-page book, and the book is published by Trinday out in California. Is that right?
Oregon.
Oregon. Trinday Publishers in Oregon. As I said, it's a very disturbing visions that you and I watched, and certainly other folks can watch that as well. But the book, The Franklin Scandal, give an overview of The Franklin Scandal for us, if you will.
The Franklin Scandal is probably the darkest nonfiction book that someone will ever read, or certainly one of the darkest nonfiction books that someone will ever read. It was about a nationwide pedophile network that flew kids from coast to coast and pandered them to the rich and powerful. The network operated mostly in the 1980s, and it flew kids. I've got like about 175 of the network's flight receipts, and most of the receipts show that the kids were flown to Washington, D.C., and they were pandered to various politicians, power brokers, and affluent businessmen. And the allegations started to surface that this network existed. The epicenter of this pedophile network was in Nebraska. It operated out of Omaha, Nebraska. And allegations of this network started to surface. It was covered up initially. The first kids that came forward were from the social services system. Yeah. And that was squelched almost immediately. The local and federal police said that they investigated the allegations, but actually only one of the kids that came forward was interviewed once. And then what happened was, as more and more revelations started to come out about child abuse in this pedophile network, the FBI came in and the Department of Justice came in with a full-court press and covered up the allegations. They put a lot of pressure on the kids who had been affiliated with the pedophile network to recant. And as my trailer says, one of the kids who refused to recant her abuse. She said she was abused. She'd been abused since she'd been enmeshed in this pedophile network since she was 14. She refused to recant, and she was indicted for perjury by a state grand jury and by a federal grand jury. And she was ultimately given 9 to 15 years for perjury. A kid, a girl who was 21 at the time when she was indicted and given 9 to 15 years, and she spent nearly 2 years in solitary confinement. So that sent a very resounding signal to other victims that might come forward that if you don't recant and you want to go on with talking about this pedophile network, this is what's going to happen to you.
Well, what about some of the people in the communities where these kids lived? Some of the clergy, some of the politicians, some of the parents did they advocate fully, forcefully, strongly for these kids when they came forward with these allegations?
What happened initially was there was a groundswell of support for the victims. But what ultimately happened was the reason why the book is called The Franklin Scandal is Lawrence King Jr. of Omaha, Nebraska, mm-hmm. ran a credit union. And the credit union was in a lower socioeconomic part of Omaha, North Omaha. And the feds raided it and determined that $40 million had been missing. So And it was only supposed to be have like about $2.5 million in it. So the feds determined that $40 million had been missing. And then a Nebraska legislative committee was formed to look into why $40 million, how $40 million just vanished into thin air. Mm-hmm. And when the legislative committee formed to look at this credit union and the embezzlement, that's when they started to hear whispers of child abuse allegations. And then the first people that told the legislative committee about the child abuse were people in social services that who had told law enforcement about these allegations of child abuse, but law and allegations of an interstate pedophile network, but law enforcement didn't act upon their information. So this legislative committee formed, and then they started talking to not only people in social services, but a couple of the victims that had come forward, and they really got behind this investigation. But a lot of pressure was put on this investigative committee, and it ultimately ruptured. And the media was against the legislative committee, and then the FBI came in, and they were very malicious to the victims. I have FBI interviews of the victims, and I also have the victims talking about what the FBI did to them. So the FBI came in with a full court press and said that there was no pedophile network, and the Department of Justice, in both Washington, D.C. and also in Nebraska, backed the FBI. But this legislative committee forged ahead, and after it ruptured, its chief investigator left, and it hired a new investigator who found more victims and videotaped them. So the victims previously hadn't been videotaped, but now they were videotaped. And so he could show people in the legislative committee and also people in law enforcement that these kids are basically naming the same people, and they're talking about being on interstate flights. And so there was, at this point, when this investigator started to videotape the kids, I mean, the toothpaste had come out of the tube. Mm-hmm. The feds had worked very hard at keeping the toothpaste in the tube, but now the toothpaste was out of the tube. So, and there was a groundswell of support, but the media was went along with the feds. So you had the media basically excoriating the victims, especially the Omaha World Herald, which played an integral role in this whole macabre circus. And then, so the feds ultimately dictated what was leaked and what the people were subjected to as far as the media.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the media's role in this a little bit more. At first, this would be a local story, and it's got some regional attention. But I'm sure at some point, I thought I saw Tom Brokaw there, that this would have gotten some kind of national attention and come across some prominent or not prominent individual's desk in terms of this. What did you find in that regard? Were they interested, or did they just follow the lead of the FBI, and once they said there was no pedophile ring here, that was the end of it?
Well, that's very interesting. The New York Times jumped on the story immediately, and they reported on it, and they talked to a youth worker who said that, who had interviewed one of the kids, and she said that she believed the kids, and that this kid had been flown around. And then there were two grand juries in Nebraska.
Yes, talk about the grand juries.
There were two grand juries. After the toothpaste had come out of the tube, two grand juries were called to determine if there had been any child abuse. Now, I had the good fortune of garnering most of the sealed grand jury testimony and documents from the state grand jury. So, and in my book, I bring the reader right into a grand jury. And generally, most grand juries, especially the testimony, is sealed. Mm-hmm. But I had the good fortune of getting that sealed testimony. So I bring the reader right into this state grand jury. And I show really how corrupt and perfidious this state grand jury was. I mean, it was such a flagrant abuse of justice. But this state grand jury, which I really deconstruct, declared that all these child abuse allegations had been a carefully crafted hoax. And then right in the wake of this state grand jury, and then it indicted two victims who refused to recant their abuse.
Indicted the victims, yes.
And then a federal grand jury in Nebraska declared that these child abuse allegations were a hoax. And it also indicted one of the victims on perjury. So the New York Times, with the state grand jury, just went with a carefully crafted hoax. So the New York Times jumped on the story, didn't report on it for about a year and a half, and then it came out and said that these allegations in Nebraska were a carefully crafted hoax. And then when the federal grand jury declared that the child abuse allegations were a hoax, the New York Times and the Washington Post reported that these allegations were unfounded by this federal grand jury. So you see the media, and it's really difficult to know in this situation why the New York Times didn't dig deeper. Why did they go with these decisions by these grand juries, even though it was very obvious that these grand juries were very corrupt?
Well, we're going to be talking some more about those grand juries and some other issues. We're also going to be taking your phone calls on Talkback this afternoon. The name of the book is The Franklin Scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal. The author is Nick Bryant. He's in the studio with me this afternoon in WBAI, and we're going to be going to a break in a few moments. And when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to be taking your phone calls. The number to call when we come back is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. My name is Michael G. Haskins. The name of the program is Talk Back, and I am sitting in this afternoon for Hugh Hamilton. Hugh is away on vacation, and he'll be back on the 13th. That's the 13th of October. He will be back. October begins next month, and he will be back on the 13th. And again, thank you very much for tuning in to the program this afternoon. We'll be back in just a moment.
children. This is Reverend Billy from the Church of Stop Shopping. You're listening to WBAI FM 99.5, New York City. It's listener-sponsored, children. It's commercial-free. Change-a-looia.
The music of Tia Fuller, Ebb and Flow, here on WBAI 99.5 FM. We're into hour number two right now. My name is Michael G. Haskins, sitting in today for the vacationing Hugh Hamilton. The name of the book is called The Franklin Scandal, A Story of Power Brokers, Child Abuse, and Betrayal by Nick Bryant. In the studio with me this afternoon, and we'll be taking your phone calls in just a few minutes on 212-209-2900. Before we take these phone calls, Nick, tell us, talk a little bit about the Washington, D.C. side of the pedophile network and the blackmail that was employed. And tell us a little bit about that. Because that's a very, very interesting part of this whole scandal.
Well, you can't really understand Franklin without understanding the D.C. side of it, because the kids were basically garnered in Nebraska. And you wonder, why is the Department of Justice and why is the FBI protecting a bunch of child molesters in Nebraska? And you don't really get the answer until you look at the Washington, D.C. side of it. Like I said, I've, because of the sealed grand jury documents that I've acquired, I have about 175 of the pedophile rings, flight receipts. And the vast majority of them, like 90% of them, go to Washington, D.C. And where a lot of these pedophile parties were, there was a house in Washington, D.C. that was wired for audio and visual. And the parties would start out generally as straight political functions. And then and people would get liquored up. And maybe at around 11 or midnight, and we're talking like senators, congressmen, cabinet members, wanted journalists would attend these parties. And around 11 o'clock at night or maybe midnight, someone would like fire up a joint or break out some coke or do some overt sexual act. And the people that didn't want to stick around would split. And then the serious customers would stay. And then at that point, they'd whatever they wanted. I mean, if they wanted kids, they'd be provided with kids. If they wanted young men in their 20s or late teens, they'd be provided with young men in their late 20s or teens. If they wanted young women in their late 20s or early 20s, they'd be or teens, whatever the individual wanted. And this house was definitely wired for audio and visual. I've got a tremendous amount of corroboration. And the gentleman that owned it, Craig Spence, according to him, he was a CIA asset, and I found further corroboration that he was a CIA asset.
Mm. It's quite disturbing. You know, it almost takes one's breath away to hear this kind of thing going on right here in the country. And then some, you know, in our listening audience may say that they're not surprised at all. I just find it hard to fathom that no one advocated forcefully for these kids. Is it, in your opinion, Nick Bryant, because the children were powerless, didn't vote? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that a number of these politicians and power brokers were compromised in that house, and that corruption had to be protected at all costs. Mm-hmm. If this pedophile network was brought into the broad daylight and people saw that there were very powerful men and powerful politicians that were compromised, that are in our government. And
In this way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really would have just been, I mean, it really would have been problematic. And so I think that it had to be protected at all costs. It didn't matter. I mean, three grand juries were ultimately deployed to cover this up. And actually, in my book, there's a lot of people that commit suicide. So there were there's a rash of very enigmatic deaths, and there's just a tremendous amount of corruption. And there's a lot of corruption in the media. This is a story that had to be kept under wraps, no matter what it took, by any means necessary, because this story was so explosive. And that's why 20 years later, people are still frightened to talk about it.
Well, it is published now by Trine Day, T-R-I-N-E Day. If you'd, is it all right if I give this 800 number out? I'm sure you wouldn't object to that. 800-556-2012, 800-556-2012 for the Franklin scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal. Nick Bryan in the studio on Talkback this afternoon. We're going to be taking some phone calls now. We'll open up the phone calls and see what you have to say. I have some other questions that I'd like to ask, but let's hear from the listening audience now. 212-209-2900. WBAI, good afternoon. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Michael, and good afternoon to your guests. This is why we need WBAI.
I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, your guest seems to imply that there is some secret intrigue involved here. And I was just wondering if your guest also investigated some of the secret societies most prominent officials belong to, such as Skull and Bones, which President Bush was an initiate. Now, I've seen pictures of Bush's secret male lover. So what I'm saying is most of these occult secret fraternities, they encourage this deviant behavior. So are we being ruled by Luciferians, men who worship Lucifer, and secret occult societies encourage this type of behavior?
All right. Thanks for your call, Nick.
Well, I wouldn't know about that question per se, but I will say this, that the names of the politicians that have come up as far as being compromised, it is kind of mind-boggling. I mean, we're talking politicians that go up the ladder, but here's the built-in mechanism with this this particular pedophile network. These kids came from very dysfunctional lower socioeconomic backgrounds, and a lot of them were put into institutions, and then they were flown around the country and molested, and they were turned on to drugs. As many drugs as these kids wanted to take, they would be provided with, and they were repeatedly molested. So they went on to become perpetrators and felons, and I've found them in prison. I mean, I found them in crack houses. I found them in homeless shelters, a lot of these victims. So how is one or two of these victims going to name a senator or name a congressman or name someone that was in a presidential cabinet? I mean, how many of these kids is it going to take? I mean, that is the built-in safety mechanism here, is that these kids go on to compromise their own credibility.
Yeah, wow. Let's take another call. WBAI, good afternoon. You're on the air. Nick Bryant's in the studio. He's the author of The Franklin Scandal. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Right.
Good afternoon, excuse me, to your guests. This is more in line of a comment, and you can feel free, you know, to comment on it if you want to. But it just says and shows how blind, how the American people are walking around with blinders on, even after your book, and there have been millions of books, you know, that come out that deal with the machinations, you know, of our so-called, you know, government and our representatives from the top to the bottom. But people seem to read these books, I guess, as though they were, you know, novels or something, and then they dismiss it and goes back, you know, to business as usual. Now, this goes from right on up, I mean, to the White House, right on up to the halls, like you would say, of power. So what does this say in reality about this country that goes around the world preaching democracy, preaching justice, down on pedophiles and, you know, and all of these righteous, you know, sounding names that they put on things. And this government stinks from head to toe. And it's time that the American people woke up and thought,
could I comment on what you
saw? Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much. Nick, did you want to comment?
I just want to say this. The country, last October, 12% of the American public felt that the Congress was acting in their best interest. Mm. The Congress had a congressional approval rating of 12%. And in my book, I make a very strong case that there's another checks and balance system. I mean, it's not only special interest, but a number of our government officials are, in fact, compromised. And so they have their masters that are tugging at their strings, kind of like the Godfather. And so I will say this, that according to my investigation, a number of our esteemed officials are, in fact, compromised. But you just don't need to compromise. You can compromise people with children. I mean, you can compromise them with extramarital affairs, or you can compromise them with money. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to sink a politician.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that comment, that answer, Nick Bryan, the author of The Franklin Scandal, WBAI. Good afternoon. We're going to take a few more calls. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. About 25 years ago, I had heard of such a thing going on, and it involved a very popular Hollywood comedian. He had a big-time television show and whatnot. Are there any people other than politicians that were involved in this thing? I'll take my answer on the air.
Thanks for your question.
According to my investigation, politicians have been compromised, and media personalities are compromised also. It's actually kind of mind-boggling, some of the media personalities that have come up in my investigation. So I think it's fair to say that that media personalities are also compromised, because you need the media compromised. If the media isn't compromised and they start telling the truth, that's a problem. So both politicians and media personalities are compromised, according to my investigation.
All right, and on that note, let me just say again, this is WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and this is Talkback. I'm Michael G. Haskins. We'll take a few more calls now, 212-209-2900. Go ahead. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, are you there? Go ahead, please.
Yes, I am here, but can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Oh yeah, my question is, you know, in light of the author's findings, you know, in terms of, my sense is that when all of this was unfolding, you know, it might have appeared like a fiction, and there might have been a huge effort to disprove everything that was going down, especially since it was so high-profile political figures. But given the fact that we have things, as discussed, like, you know, plane tickets, and you said the building, you know, and the sites were wired. It sounds like the book now shows that there's, a lot more black and white proof. I wondered, would that not precipitate the reopening of something like this? And further to that, I wondered, what happens when you write a book like this? I mean, what is the plight of Nick as he puts something, this brave out into the world? I mean, my sense is, it's intensely threatening to so many people. How have you fared with this book being up when you blow out all of this sort of ugly stuff? I mean, has your life been threatened? How did the book come to be?
That's a very, very good question. I want to thank you very much for that question. And Nick, as you answer that, talk about the publishers, plural, unwillingness to touch this story as you answer this caller's question.
I have taken a tremendous amount of heat personally. I have had my life threatened. I had the Nebraska State Patrol pull my car over, my rental car over, and completely rip it apart. There's been a number of questionable things that have happened to me. I think the thing that probably saved me in all this was the names of the politicians that come up on my interviews are just so mind-boggling that I can't name them because I have a bunch of really damaged, dysfunctional victims, naming these politicians. But if something did in fact happen to me, those interviews would have been put up on the internet. I made sure of that. But this story was complete kryptonite as far as mainstream publishing. It was rejected by everyone. I had an agent who I gave this story to, and I was dropped immediately. I acquired a second agent who tried to sell this story. No one would sell it. Magazines, and I wrote a bulletproof article, a libel-proof article on this, and no magazine would touch it. So there is one publisher in the United States of America that would publish this book, and that is Trinde out in Oregon. I mean, that's it. If it hadn't been for Trinde, this book never would have been published.
All right, we're still taking your calls here on WBAI 99.5 FM. WBAI, good afternoon. You're on the air. Go ahead, please. Are you there?
Yes, hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Brian. I'm a first-time caller to the station.
Hi.
I was just sitting here listening, and my fear is it kind of reminds me of the 80s. It's a hot-button, you know, topic, and during the 80s, I remember something about children being coerced to testify in a daycare facility where people were prosecuted, I think a mother and son, and it was sort of like a witch hunt back then, where it was found out later that these children were coerced by the overzealous prosecutors, and I wonder if you could address that at all.
Okay, you're talking about the McMartin scandal, and my story is vastly different than the McMartin scandal. I had a paper trail to approximately 60 victims, a paper trail that had been put together by a legislative committee investigator in Nebraska. So I had a paper trail of these victims, and these victims are now adults. And so I had a paper trail to the victims, and they are now adults. They are not children. They are not easily manipulated. These kids came forward a number of years ago and said they were molested, and they got walloped by the FBI, and they got walloped by other entities of law enforcement. So this isn't like a McMartin thing where you've got, like, preschool children being manipulated, if in fact that was the case with the McMartin situation where preschool children were manipulated by therapists. I mean, I've got kids that came forward a number of years ago, and they're adults now, and they basically stick to the same story. And plus, with all the corroboration that I have, I mean, I've found victim after victim after victim. And it's not like I'm randomly looking for victims. I mean, I've got paper trails to every victim that I found.
So would your hope would be to reopen this and then eventually have these pedophiles prosecuted, I would think?
Well, I have a number of hopes. I mean, there's a number of very mysterious deaths. If you read my book, The Franklin Scandal, you'll see that there are a number of very strange deaths. There's the investigator for the legislative committee that was looking into this pedophile network took a tremendous amount of heat from the FBI. And he flew to Chicago. He had his own plane, and he was flying back from Chicago. And I've got five corroborations that he got pictures of children engaged in compromised positions with various power brokers. And his plane broke up over Lee County, Illinois. I mean, that's just one of the very eerie deaths that is involved in this. So, I mean, there are a number of mysterious deaths, and there's no statute of limitations on death. Right. Or on murder. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. There's a statute of limitations on child abuse. But I think that America needs to know that a number of its politicians are probably compromised right now, and that is why they're not acting in the best faith of the body politic of America.
Needs to know on the record. Thank you very much for that for that answer, Nick, and thank you very much, caller, for your question. We're going to move on and take a few more calls before we get to the bottom of the hour. 212-209-2900. It's 20 past 4, and you're listening to Talkback. Well, I'll hold my comments for the moment, and we'll move on and take a few more calls for Nick Bryant. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. A few years ago, I read about this entire incident that you are talking about, and it was published in a book. I thought the title of it was Franklin Cover-Up.
The Franklin Cover-Up was a self-published book, and my book... and that preceded my book. It was written by a former state senator in Nebraska, and it was self-published, and it kind of became an underground bestseller. But my book takes the Franklin scandal, and it takes it much further than the other book, The Franklin Cover-Up.
Okay, and that was authored by John DeCamp, was
Yes, it?
It
was. Yes,
okay,
it was.
So that's the one I read. So this is, you're basically republishing, but adding new material?
I'm taking it much further. John DeCamp really didn't get into the Washington, D.C. side of it and what happened there. He really didn't get into how the grand jury was co-opted. And he didn't address what happened to Alicia Owen, the girl that wouldn't recant, that got 9 to 15 years for perjury. I mean, he touched on some of these things, but I just had much more information. Plus, I was able to find a lot of victims to come forward, whereas John just went with various papers and materials that had been collected by the legislative committee.
Mm-hmm. And how do you spell your last name?
Bryant, B-R-Y-A-N-T.
Okay, thank you very
much. You can go to www.franklinscandal.com if you want to read about the website or the book.
Right, and I'm familiar with that publisher as well, so I'm glad to see that it's been that it's up in public view again. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. And the way that I put my book together much differently than John DeCamp did. I think that my book can really withstand rigorous journalistic scrutiny, whereas his book, I think, would be problematic that way.
Mm. Nick, you've done other radio interviews. You've done several radio interviews around the country around this book, The Franklin Scandal. Have you done any New York radio?
You are the first New York media outlet to have me on. For some reason... publishers in New York and media in New York have a real hard time with this story. Mm. And I really, like I said, this story is like kryptonite to New York media. Mm. And I really wish that people in New York media would buy the book, read it, and they will see that I put together an airtight case. And but I do not know why New York media has been so difficult to talk, to break in the story. It's just been really, really difficult.
Just let's talk a little bit about Trine Day. They're donating a percentage of the proceeds of this book to charities. And talk a little bit about that.
Actually, 50% of the proceeds of this book are being donated to children's charities. Mm. And so when you buy The Franklin Scandal, not only are you getting kind of a mind-boggling tale of government corruption and a tale that unlike you've ever read before, but 50% of the proceeds are going to charities to help children. I've written a lot in children's issues, mm-hmm. and the publisher is very concerned about children's issues. So together we decided that 50% of the proceeds would go to children's charities.
Great. Terrific. All right. Let's take a few more calls. It's 25 after 4. WBAI, good afternoon. You're on the air. This is Talkback.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bryant, and good afternoon to you, too, as host of the show.
Thank you.
Very interesting discussion. My first question, was this taken care of being done during the time of J. Edgar Hoover's stewardship?
No, this was, this pedophile network was...
I have another question, please.
Okay.
Okay, and then my other question is that the host's comment earlier was a very on point, and that didn't anybody say anything about this, but that's not the... Because my point is that do you know the name of these people? Are they in your book?
The power brokers that ran the pedophile network are certainly in my book, and I do name some of the power broker pedophiles also.
And my final question is this. Should anything happen to you, you made an arrangement that that all these names will be brought out. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying to myself that seems like kind of, I got a question about that, because if something should happen to you, something has already happened to a number of children, and you have these names and you won't bring them out unless something happened to you. I would hang up and listen to your response to those questions that I asked, please.
Okay, let me answer this question for you. What happened, I mean, I can show that these kids were abused, and according to law enforcement, these kids were not abused. According to state and federal law enforcement, there wasn't any child abuse whatsoever. Okay, but I can prove that these kids were abused. Now, if I start naming some of the politicians that have come up in this investigation, the kids themselves, I mean, a lot of these kids are felons. A lot of these kids are drug addicts. And a lot of these kids are both felons and drug addicts. So if I say, like, this kid who has a history of violence, who has a history of drug addiction, named this particular senator as a child abuser, I mean, people are just going to laugh at this kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, but what I do show is the tremendous amount of federal firepower that went into vaporizing this story. And I do talk to, you know, and I bring the kids forward. There's a bunch of victims in my book, and they tell their stories. But because of this built-in safety mechanism of the politician's eminence, the power broker's eminence, or the media personality's eminence, and then these kids' status as felons and drug addicts, people would just laugh at them. So that is the answer to your question.
Okay, great. Thank you for that comment. I will take another call. WBAI, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Couple of things that I'd like to say in this matter. First, I'd like to thank Nick very much for writing the story. Secondly, I'm not at all surprised at this sort of thing. Number two, I think that what he has experienced since he wrote this book is also another story that perhaps he might like to, put in a book. And thirdly, I like to say that we had a case in this area somewhat similar in regards to political people, and that's the Tawana Brawley case. And if he were interested, perhaps he might want to delve into that case and put it in a book.
Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with the Tawana Brawley case.
Okay, so now that's put out there on the table. Caller, thank you for raising that. I'm sure that is resonating in the minds of many people this afternoon as they listen to Nick Bryan. Thanks very much for your call. Mm-hmm. We're quite tight on time. Nick Bryan, discuss the victim who wouldn't recant, Alicia Owen, and her perjury conviction. That's fascinating. That's really one of the things that compelled me to get in touch with you and to ask you to come on the program this afternoon.
Well, the FBI came in and pressured all the victims, and there were two kids that wouldn't recant, and they were both indicted by the state grand jury that declared that there was no child abuse allegations, and Alicia was actually indicted by the federal grand jury too, and so Alicia went on trial, and her trial is very fleshed out in my book, and her trial was very, very corrupt, very corrupt, and the jury was heavily manipulated, and she was ultimately found guilty, and she was sentenced to 9 to 15 years, and she ended up spending 2 years in solitary confinement, and her brother, who was 17 years old, was one of those strange suicides that are in my book. There's a number of suicides in my book, and Alicia Owen's brother, who was 17 years old, supposedly killed himself. Now, I brought in documentation in the book that showed that he probably did not kill himself, and actually everybody who I've talked to who has read the book does not believe that Alicia Owen's brother killed himself. And so this poor girl was given 9 to 15 years for perjury. She spent nearly 2 years in solitary confinement, and her brother died under very mysterious circumstances. And the vast majority of people that are familiar with the case and who have read my book feel that her brother was murdered.
All right. Well, we're coming up to 4:30. This is WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM. My guest this afternoon for the second segment of the program from 3:30 up until now has been Nick Bryant, B-R-Y-A-N-T. He's the author of The Franklin Scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal. It's published by Trine Day Publishers. That's T-R-I-N-E Day Publishers. If you'd like to connect with them, you can do so 1-800-556-2012 or more information at franklinscandal.com. All one word, franklinscandal.com. Nick, thank you again very much for coming down, you know, with just a couple of days' notice and spending time in the afternoon to talk with us, to expose this, to expose our audience to this, letting them know what's going on. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll be talking to you in the future about this.
Thank you for having me on, Michael.
Hi, this is Jamie.
Hi, this is Sarah from Brand Van 3000.